This is the sound of football.
On the sound of football this week, we look back on the World Cup draw and gloat about the fact that we predicted England would get the USA in its group last week. We get generally dismissive about a relatively unremarkable weekend in the Premier League, unless your name happens to be Jimmy Bullard, and we look ahead to this week's Champions League fixtures, be they dead rubbers, group deciders or otherwise. That's all to come on this week's Sound of Football. And it's a very warm welcome to another Sound of Football. Chris Oakley here, and with me once again to sift through the stuff other podcasts leave behind is Graham Sibley and Terry DeFellin from Some People on the Pitch and Yan Yan Bag. Welcome, chaps.
Hello.
Well, what a humdinger of a week. Well, of course, last week we did our very own World Cup draw, which I'm pleased to say got a pleasant response amongst many of you, and thanks in particular to Fred Arachi and Il Griff, amongst others, for the nice things you said about that, and glad you enjoyed it. But this week there'll be no pulling out of bits of paper from the hat and stuff like that. We're back to the original kind of routine here. But of course, not long afterwards, we had the official FIFA World Cup draw, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the first part of our show today. So now that the dust has settled, fellas, I don't know what you felt, but I thought it was actually a pretty good draw. I mean, given that there are a few countries, and we won't name them at this stage, but given there are a few countries who are perhaps considered a bit on the weak side, I had a slight fear that, given if the wrong permutation of teams were drawn out for certain groups, we could have had a bit of a poor World Cup in some ways, could have had some weak groups in there. But actually, I thought that the mixture of teams in all the different groups was really good. Graham, starting off with you first, what were your overriding feelings of the thing?
Yeah, I think I agree with you there, Chris. I looked at the groups when they came out, and I thought, you know, there are some really interesting matchups there. Obviously, you know, the big teams are separated, and of course, with France actually getting into the host group, it perpetuated that even more, because you saw that the strongest team outside of the seeds pretty much going into a seeded group. Obviously, I think that there's a lot of interest around there. A lot of games in that first stage that, you know, are really quite fascinating.
Terry, what did you make?
Much the same. I thought that it was helped largely because it was a very straightforward seeding process. For once, so we had a good, strong, even seed, and it came out quite well. The only thing that slightly could be disappointing is that there are a few dark horses there that may not necessarily be quite so dark or horse-ish by the end of it. I'm a bit worried about Chile's group. Even though if Chile were to get through, for instance, they'd probably end up playing Brazil in the second round, basically going out in the second round, the same as they did in 98, which is disappointing because I'm interested to see them. And Uruguay, I think, as well, are in a very difficult group as well, and I'd quite like to see them progress. I've got a feeling about them because although they've, you could see them finishing behind France, but I think South Africa's that Group A is going to be an absolutely fascinating group, because it'll be interesting to see just how South Africa play. But on balance, a really well balanced draw, and congratulations to FIFA. Well rigged. I mean, well done.
Congratulations to FIFA. Two words in the same sentence you don't often get.
Not without heavy irony tags, anyway.
No, I agree, actually. South Africa versus Mexico is an opening game I thought was really good. I think that'll be, I'm thoroughly looking forward to seeing that. And going back to Chile, actually, I mean, I don't know why, but up until now I've been quite sort of in admiration of them, the fact that they sort of qualified in second place in the South American qualifying group. It was only when doing a bit of research for an article where I did a sort of summary of the draw last week that I realised, I don't know if either of you two had realised this, but if you look at the results of Chile in the qualifying stages, actually they didn't get that many wins. In fact, I think they only got two wins against the real big countries in South America, i.e. your Brazils and your Argentinas and your Paraguays, and most of their results were against the weaker teams. I think they only got a sneaked 1-0 win, I think it was, against Argentina, and a 2-1 against Paraguay. And I think other than that, they were just very efficient at sort of hoovering up points against the smaller teams. And I wonder if they've got the kind of legs, as you say, they may end up facing someone like Brazil in the next round, at which point that could be the end of their campaign. But hopeful that they're, I think, a stronger team than they were in 98, certainly. And then, of course, there was England's group. And we did at least get one thing right. We did predict that they would get the USA in their group. And, I mean, I think the press over here are pretty unanimous in sort of saying that it was a good draw for England, despite the fact that, you know, beforehand there's all this talk of, are there any teams that England would want to avoid in each sort of seeding group? And, Graham, we ended up getting one of them, which was the USA. But overall, do you see any real genuine threat in the likes of, you know, Algeria and Slovenia?
Oh, no, I mean, I think someone came up with the stat recently that the most three times, or the last three times we played the USA, we've beaten them.
I can't even remember the last time we played them. Did we play in a friendly a few years ago?
A couple of years ago, Kieran Richardson scored a couple of goals.
Wow.
In one of his rare appearances for England, and that was in the States.
Right.
But yeah, I can't remember a time when we played them competitively though.
No, we're probably 1950 with the infamous one that we don't talk about.
But of course, I mean, like, the one thing about the US team is that they do play a hell of a lot of tournament football.
That's true.
So they are used to it. I think Landon Donovan has got a point to prove as well in that game. And we've seen before they can pull out some exceptional results. Like, they didn't have a particularly good World Cup last time out, but the game against the eventual champions was quite memorable.
Indeed.
Maybe not for the football, but it was quite memorable.
And Terry, I mean, the group of death, as everyone seems to have decided, is Group G, which is the one with Brazil in it, along with North Korea, Ivory Coast and Portugal. But I don't know if it's just me, but I'm just thinking, actually, for a group of death, actually, Brazil should still come through that pretty comfortably. But is that, am I being irrational, or what are your feelings on that?
I would expect Brazil to get through and win the group. How comfortable it will be, I'm not certain. But it's a fascinating, presumably fascinating battle between the Ivorians and Portugal for second place. And we're assuming that Korea will just be happy to be there. I suppose people are saying that's the group of death. There's no obvious group of death apart from going back to Group H, like Spain, Switzerland, Honduras, and Chile. I think, all right, Spain should have the run of all of that, but if they're knackered, because half of their squad have been playing in the Champions League until the last knockings, and they don't start off so well, Switzerland are professional. Chile are, despite your misgivings, Chris, and I understand them, and it's a good point that you raise, are good, and the Hondurans are strong, physical. That could be an interesting group. But I suppose the most obvious group of death here, fair enough, Group G, Brazil. But I still think that, I mean, it's the second place of death.
Yeah, I think with Group H, it's not a question of the fact that, and G as well, it's not a question of the fact that the favourites in those groups won't get through, but it's a question of how much it will have taken out of them to get there. Mm. We've seen a lot of games with Spain recently where they've come back from where they've had like sensational comebacks, and if they start doing that every 3 or 4 days in the tournament, they could end up like the way they ended up in the Confederations Cup, and being turned over by a generally thought of as weaker team.
Similarly, in past World Cups, we've seen Brazil sort of coast through
round one,
only to sort of suddenly sort of crash to their knees in subsequent rounds.
I think under Dunga, though, I think they're a far more pragmatic team. I mean, it may not please most of a lot of Brazil fans at times, but I mean, they do win games and they win them well.
Brazil have got a tougher because Ivory Coast to Portugal will know that it's going to be a real... Okay, they're going to beat North Korea. That's the assumption. Both everyone's going to beat North Korea. That's fine. So basically, you've got to just take that out of the equation. So then it's going to be what they do against Portugal slash Ivory Coast, what they do against each other, and what they do against Brazil. Brazil could find themselves in a situation where they've got two really good sides, and they're not necessarily playing them, they're playing the other team. And then what they do, and they're going to need to get, they need to get something out of Brazil. So Brazil will be in shot at quite a lot, you know. And so it's going to be hard, really hard work for them on balance. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'll probably say it subsequent. I think Brazil are the favourites to win the World Cup. They're the best team in the world at the moment, the best balanced side. But it is going to be a tough one, but if not for anything else, because they've got two teams immediately behind them who are going to be fighting with each other. And desperate for any kind of points or goal difference or anything like that, any kind of edge that they have. So they'll be gunning for Brazil. And it'll be a, it's going to be a really, really, well, it's going to be a brilliant World Cup, but I mean, it's going to be a really fascinating group.
I'll tell you what, Ivory Coast just score so many goals that that's just going to really open a few eyes, I think, even in that group. I think they'll certainly give Portugal something to think about. Yeah. And we'll probably, as you sort of say, sap some of Brazil's... energy and so on as they sort of progress through the group. So yeah, that Ivory Coast, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing. And I'm just wondering just about Portugal, really, after that sort of qualifying campaign. I mean, all a bit of a struggle, but I guess they've got time to iron out these creases, shall we say.
I think
if there's to be a, and you'll permit me for using the phrase, Terry, but if there's to be a group of life, Then I think perhaps it's group... Well, actually, the way you used the term last week was to sort of denote a group where all the teams will fancy the chance of winning. But I guess what I'm, way I was about to use it is in terms of Group F, where basically you've got Italy, who look like the runaway favourites to win that group, and you've got three somewhat weaker teams in Paraguay, New Zealand and Slovakia. I suppose in some ways they will fancy the chances of qualifying, albeit not coming top of the group, but... It's going to be a straight fight to the death, I think, for that second place between Paraguay and Slovakia, wouldn't you say? Who would you plump for, say, Graham, out of those two?
I really couldn't say. And I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup when they do come together. I honestly...
Differing footballing styles, I guess.
Yeah. Paraguay had a fantastic start, didn't they, to their qualification campaign. And they sort of fell away a bit, so... I don't know.
In the middle of the camp, they just completely collapsed. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know any if there's any sort of reason or anything behind that. I must admit, I didn't really stay up that often to 3 a.m. to watch the qualifying games.
Certainly not. No, at least not once they started crumbling. Anyway. Yeah. So definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting because. Because I don't know how used to... I mean, I don't know if the Paraguayans are more used to playing at altitude. I know that probably Mexico are, but I know a lot of people were saying about the fact that there are different venues in South Africa that are going to be quite high up. And whether countries like Mexico, who probably don't go in there with the best of form, but can play at altitude, whether they'll have an advantage...
Quite possibly, yeah. I know some venues are pretty much at sea level as well, aren't they? So it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think that was always going to be a danger from, say, an England point of view, whether we'd end up kind of getting in a group where one minute you're playing up at sort of 3,000 feet up in the air, and the next minute you're playing at sea level.
Yeah, that was the weird thing when the draw came out, because like selfishly for me, who has to work nine to five. I was hoping that England would get Group B because there was no they're all evening kickoffs. Group C, I think the end of the group stage is in the afternoon, kicks off at 3 o'clock. So I think that's the only time. I think the second round fixture, whatever one we're in there, that's going to be an evening one as well, or a weekend, something like that. Anyway, I think that was the only time that it was ever an issue. So.
Well, more for you, Graham, for remaining in full-time employment.
Yes, more for me, yes, of course. But hey, there's a long way between now and next summer and anything like that.
But the other groups, I mean, so many other interesting groups. I mean, I'm just sort of looking here. Germany have got a tricky sort of group in some ways. Australia, Serbia, Ghana, all teams that are quite sort of you know, tricky to play. Well, so it'd be difficult.
Yeah,
to
I mean that is a really strong group, I think, and as well. I mean, I think every one of those teams would go in there thinking that they could probably take a point off the Oppo in there, and you know that which makes for a really really fascinating game. There, I think it's
not,
great as well.
Not such a lucky draw for the Hun after all.
No, not really. And of course, you know, we play assuming that England win the group, which we naturally should. We play whoever's second in Germany's group. So
could be Australia.
It could be Australia. I think that's. I mean, like when I was looking at it the other day, I was sort of making my picks on who it was going to be. And we are in. We're in the, you know, dare we say it, the easier half of the draw. We're avoiding Brazil, Spain, Holland. So we're avoiding the top three. That's all in the other half of the draw. We can't face those people until the semi-finals at the earliest.
Well, which is all good news. I mean, you know, the way things are going, I think once we get to the knockout stages, we're okay until possibly we face someone like Brazil or Spain. So we should get perilously close with the following win.
We could be facing France as early as the quarterfinal if France get there. And depending on what happens in our group and also in Germany's group, we could face Germany in the second round. But you know, that's
yeah.
Yeah, I think that Germany will win that group.
Just on pedigree, I suppose, from previous competitions, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah, and I think that probably Serbia will come second, with apologies to Ghanaian fans, because I don't think there's enough in the Ghana squad. Graham, you've been doing a bit of research about Ghana, so you know maybe a little bit more about it than I do, but I think that's Germany and Serbia.
Yeah.
We've got a tough second round against Serbia if we can win our group.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ghana did qualify at a canter, but then they weren't really up against much.
No,
in their qualification group. I mean, the Australia Serbia is going to be a tasty game.
Oh yes,
that one's probably the pick of the group. I think that one really, it's, as far as like needle matches are concerned, I think that's going to be really something to watch. But it's those little things there. It's those little matchups that really sort of start to skew groups like that, isn't it? Really, when you've got a fixture in there that just mixes it up a bit.
Indeed, yeah. Nice, tasty fixture. What was also rather sort of interesting as well is that a couple of the groups have actually got very kind of familiar lineups. I mean, you've got Group A, which has got Mexico, Uruguay, and France in it. And those three were in England's group in 1966. And in Group B, you've got Argentina, Nigeria, and Greece, and they were all in the same group in 1994, before Diego Maradona went a bit mad and started running full pelt at cameramen with a face like thunder. So, yeah, so there's some intriguing ones there. And the other group that we haven't really mentioned yet, Terry, a quick synopsis on this one. Group E, the Dutch are up against Denmark, Japan, and Cameroon. Again, you know, the way that the Netherlands play, that brilliant, slick football, attacking football, you'd think that they'd come top. But, I guess Denmark and Cameroon particularly are a threat in their own right. But to what extent would you say?
I think that Cameroon are more of a threat. And I think that that's Cameroon's. Second place is Cameroon's. I don't think the Danes are that much cop. I don't know enough about Japan to know how good they are. I've said that before, but I still think that Cameroon will be able to make it through in second. I think theirs is the best chance to get into the next round of all the African teams, notwithstanding whatever happens with the hosts.
Right.
Because I think the others are in tricky groups, whereas that one I think is a straightforward run, personally, because I don't rate the Danes, and I don't rate the Japanese either. So I think that's going to be a fairly straightforward one for me.
Denmark came through a tough group, though, didn't they? Because they were in with Sweden, weren't they?
Sweden with Portugal.
Yep. Yeah. So and like, they finished top out of there, and I presume they must have been third out of pot three, really, and when they went into that group, weren't they?
Yeah. And they have, when they qualify, they usually go through to the second round as well. I realise I'm being controversial here. You know, I still think that Cameroon will in Africa will go ahead and win that and not win that group, but they'll go and take second in that group behind the Dutch.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot more impetus for all the African nations to actually raise their games on it in this tournament.
Yeah, and we will know a lot more about the African nations after, obviously, Angola, because we got an excellent opportunity for everyone to have a really good look at the African teams because of the African Cup of Nations in January. So we'll maybe be in a better position to make predictions after we've seen.
Except
that,
of course, the hosts who haven't qualified for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we know enough about them.
That's their problem, and I think we should meddle with that. No, indeed. I think I speak for all of us when I say that looks like it's going to be a fascinating competition next year. Certainly an excellent first round, lots of wonderful matches to look forward to. With that, we turn our attention towards matters back in the UK and indeed in Europe. Part two of this week's Sound of Football podcast, and we're turning our attention to Europe and the Champions League games that are coming up this week. But if you're wondering if we're going to discuss the Premier League, well, not a great deal, to be honest, because as far as I was concerned, and I think we all share the same opinion, is that there wasn't that much to discuss. I mean, there's Chelsea lost to Man City, a great game there, but you know, Chelsea is still top, and Man United, you know, easily beat West Ham. That was easy to predict, I guess, as much as anything else. Bottom half of the table, I think it was only really, certainly right at the bottom, it was only Portsmouth that won, and they're still in the same position. So it's very much business as usual, really. Shame to see Jimmy Bullard hobbling off, although I understand it's not his usual leg that's got the jip. It's his other leg now that's sort of gone a bit sort of, you know, mangy. So I think Phil Brown is quietly optimistic that he'll be back soon. So, and I think most people would agree with that. We hope to see him back soon. But anyway, like I say, let's turn our attention to the Champions League this week. The final round of group stage games coming up this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and some interesting ties. Let's kind of pick a few out here. We'll start off with, Man United are away to Wolfsburg. We know that Man United have qualified. But Wolfsburg have still got to win that one. I'll come to you, Terry. What sort of form are Wolfsburg in? What can we expect? And are they likely to sort of seal that second place in their group, do you think?
Well, I don't think so, personally, no. Wolfsburg are scoring lots of goals, but they're letting in lots of goals as well. Right. And I don't think that they have the collective experience to be able to hold back Manchester United, unless United field a weakened side, which is possible.
Well, they by default, I think they're going
to. Yeah, obviously they've got defensive issues at their time. But I mean, I don't know. I think stung by criticism from the last performance, I wonder whether or not United will be in a slightly better mood and more of an aggressive goal scoring mood. And I think you only have to do a rudimentary look at the way Wolfsburg play. And you know, the best way to play Wolfsburg is the way that the Bundesliga teams have been playing them, and that's just to go straight at them because they're weak themselves at the back. So could be a higher scoring, knockabout fun affair, that one. But I personally, my money's on United to get a high scoring point or an away win, and Moscow to beat Besiktas and make it through.
Yes, it's all rather interesting. And while we're on the subject of German teams, Bayern Munich are away to Juventus, which could be. I think it's getting pretty tense in that group, Group A. I mean, Bordeaux are top of the group. And both teams are actually in good form. I think Bayern have sort of turned a bit of a corner, haven't they?
Yes, slightly. Yeah. Yes. Vicar Olic is back in the Bayern team after injury, and although he's not one of their most hailed players, it does bring balance to the side and to their midfield. I think that Bayern are in good shape against Juve, but of course Juve won the Derby d'Italia at the weekend, so they themselves will be in a good mood. I think that Bayern will make it through their group. I could be wrong, but I think it could be a double trouble. I think it's going to be triple trouble for German teams. I don't think any of the Bundesliga teams are going to make it into the second round, in my opinion.
Ooh,
there's controversial.
Not really. Stuttgart are pretty awful.
Yes, they are.
They've just sacked their manager. And Udogie are really, and Stuttgart are dreadful at home as well. And they've got to play and beat Udogie. Or have they got to beat them, or do they just need a point? But either way, they've got to avoid getting beaten. I can't see that happening. I don't think that Bayern Munich can get a result at Is it that the Del Alpi? Or is it Stadio Olimpico? And as I said, I don't think that United are going to... I think United are going to beat Wolfsburg. So I think that's that for the Bundesliga.
Right. Well, there we are. And elsewhere, Graham, we've got Inter Milan. I mean, just sort of covering another one of your sort of key areas, shall we say, on the Italian front. Inter Milan at home to Rubin Kazan in Group F. As Terry said, they lost at the weekend. And Inter's situation is that they're third in the group and they've got to win, really. Barcelona are top. So what do you reckon on that one? Are you favouring Inter?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to have the wherewithal to get the win there. They had this rotten start with the three straight draws, and it was in that group, and I don't think that anyone really expected Ruben or even Kiev to perform as well as they have. But they go into this final game with all of them really sort of like trying to get through. Through one way or another, yeah. I think they can all still make it through, can't they?
Yes, indeed, absolutely.
So I mean, I think Kiev Barcelona is going to be going to be an interesting one as well. So it's
As I said, there's some groups which are pretty much all done and dusted, and there's a few sort of dead rubbers and things. Whereas there are other groups like this one where it's still quite open, essentially. So
and yet these games are still relegated to the interactive service of Sky, which I know people will much rather see a dead rubber between Liverpool and Fiorentina, or even Olympiacos and Arsenal than watch something where someone's season's at stake. Yeah. You know, so.
The big one, of course, is this week, really, I guess, is Real Madrid against Marseille, which is in Group C. Real Madrid are top of the group on 10 points, and Marseille are on 7, with Milan in between the two of them. And Marseille are at home, actually, to Real Madrid in that one. And I think everyone sort of picked that one out right from the start, didn't they, that group, in terms of the fact that there's three sort of real big teams. And I mean, I know from covering sort of French football for some people on the pitch that Marseille have played generally pretty well this season, but they have wobbled a bit.
They've been turned over a couple of times, haven't they? I think
they won at the weekend, but they're still sort of a little bit off the pace, really, and you just sort of think, well, Real Madrid should deal with him, I think. My inclination is, and should go through. And as mentioned before, Milan are playing away in Zurich, and I think AC Milan have already beaten Zurich once in this one, so I think Marseille might be missing out on that one.
Didn't Zurich beat Milan earlier in the group? Have I got that horrible?
No, it was a 0-0.
Was it?
Oh no!
No, I'm sure. No. Hang on.
They did. No, they did. They beat them. They beat them.
Sorry, yes. I apologise. Sorry, you're quite right. Yes, Zurich won actually in Milan, because that was a bit of an early shock, wasn't it? Yes, of course. Still coming back. Yeah. I do apologise. But I mean, and ironically, this match will be in Zurich. So okay, I take that back. Then maybe Marseille have got a chance, but I'm not sure. I mean, Milan are pretty well,
are much improved.
I think you can look back on that game as a turning point for them, really. I
mean, absolutely agreed.
Basically, people were saying that Leonardo was lucky to keep his job after that, but it has turned round for them since. So it's.
And I mean, as I've sort of found out in my research for this week's TV preview, I think Zurich are really on terrible form at the moment. So I think Milan stand a pretty good chance of. Well,
yeah, I know they will get the win there in Zurich, and that will be good enough for them. And I've got a sneaky feeling that's going to be good enough to give them the actual first place in that group. Because I think Marseille will. I think Marseille will get a win against Madrid, but it won't be good enough.
Right. You heard it here first.
I think that's a decent call, actually. Sorry, I think that's a decent call, Graham. I think I think Marseille could get that win as well. But yeah, ironic. Unfortunately for them, it's Europa League. Whatever happens.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, you've really got sort of, like I say, kind of dead rubbers. I mean, we mentioned already Arsenal; they're already through to the knockout stages. Although directly behind them, you've got this kind of battle between Standard Liège and AZ. Who are playing each other this week.
AZ have just sacked their coach.
They did, that's right. I heard that earlier on today, you're quite right, yes.
Koeman's been sacked. So another coach been sacked just before the Champions Stuttgart League match.
Shaking it up a bit going into this week's games.
It's going to make for an interesting draw. I don't know when the draw is. Chris, I don't know if you've got that handy, but there's a lot of new faces that are going to be in the knockout stage.
Mm. I think it's next. I think it's Friday week, if I remember rightly. I did see that earlier.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Are they going to get another UEFA round in?
Finish the Europa League off first, which is next week, I think, and then it's the draw after that or something like that.
Yeah,
right. Okay, because I think I don't know. Like, what do you think it's just coincidence, or do you think the new sort of like the Champions route has made a difference this year, Chris?
I'm not sure really able to get a shot, and I'm sort of seeing it seems to have shaken a few things like Liverpool's the whole thing of you might end up in third place, so therefore you're going to kind of end up in the Europa League. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, really. Help Terry.
I don't think it's made a tremendous difference, or will make necessarily a tremendous difference for the second round, but it is nice to see Hungarian representation. It's good to see Apoel in there as well. I mean, of course, the one exception to that is almost that. Well, hopefully, according to me anyway, will be that Erzacheni will be going through, and that is great to see a Romanian team in the second round. So, but I think on balance, I don't think it necessarily makes that much of a difference. But I do think it is good to have. I personally agree with the Champions route. I thought it was a good idea, and it helps to redress the balance and perhaps bring in some extra money for the poorer Eastern European nations leagues, and hopefully get some kind of parity going on there. But I'm not sure.
And I mean, other than that, you've got sort of Rangers are playing in Seville, but Rangers are already out, and. I'm just going to look in Lyon against Debrecen. Lyon are already through. Although Lyon also sort of slipped up a bit of the weekend. They lost to Lille. Did I get that right? I think I've got that right, haven't I? Yes. So there's some really critical games, some non-entities, frankly. But basically, my advice would be get on Sky Sports. And take your pick, Sky Sports Extra, and just like fiddle around with the red button and just find all the decent games, really. And unless you're a Liverpool supporter or whatever, in which case you're probably going to watch them anyway. So that's that. I think that pretty much rounds up all the important stuff as far as football is concerned for this week. It only really leaves us to give you a few other bits that fall into the category of any other business, namely our second Socrates London Bloggers Meetup is going on this Wednesday, which Terry always skillfully coordinates and arranges for us. And just to put the appeal out, if you haven't already heard, is that if you are a football blogger in London or the South East, or you can basically get to London this Wednesday, you're more than welcome to come along. Basically, we had one of these events back in, when was it, Terry? I've lost track already. Is it,
September,
I think. That sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yes.
And had a fantastic time. We had the football going on in the background, the England match was going on, and it was a great opportunity to meet other people that are doing great work in terms of football blogging. And we're having our second event this Wednesday. It's in Vauxhall, London. If you'd like to come along, drop us an email. Get in touch with us at let me get the email address right. Where are we? It is Socrates@gmail.com. Socrates@gmail.com. If you'd like to come along, let us know, and we'll smooth your path to our door on Wednesday, and we hope to see you there. Failing that, of course, we've got just all the other sort of stuff to tell you about in terms of subscribing to the podcast at iTunes, and you can find our blog site at soundoffootball.blogspot.com, and you can catch us on Twitter and. Yes, that's probably about it, isn't it, really? And some people on the pitch and the onion bag and everything else. I'm all a bit hectic this week. Sorry about that. Anyway, I think that pretty much rounds it up for this week. Chaps, have I forgotten anything? Is there anything that we should be mentioning before we go off our separate ways?
No, I think that's it.
Right, excellent. We hope you enjoyed listening to the show. We hope to have the pleasure of your company again next week. For now, it's goodbye from myself and from Terry and from Graham. See you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.